Final hour on this Tuesday. Next man up, 102.5. The Game, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Back into the Titans. Titans got a win on Sunday. 1-4. First win in a little over 10 months. It's been a while. But the Titans got it done. No matter how strange of a win it was, they came out on top 22-21. And an opportunity this weekend to string together back-to-back wins for the first time since November of 2022. Taking on the Las Vegas Raiders. They are 1-4 as well. Got blown out by the Colts this past weekend. That game is inside Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas on Sunday afternoon. Titans and Raiders. I want to talk defense. Titans defense got off to a slow start. You gave up 14 quick ones. You know, Marvin Harrison Jr. with a ridiculous catch early on in that game that set up the first score. Kyler Murray showed off the legs to get in for the second touchdown. The third touchdown was set up by that Tony Pollard fumble. Overall, though, I want to give some credit to Denard Wilson's bunch because I thought they played pretty well on Sunday. And you're starting to see some guys who maybe you weren't expecting a whole lot out of making plays for this team. Cedric Gray had 17 tackles against the Texans. I think he had 12.
He did.
Against the Cardinals on Sunday.
Half of them were solo.
Right. Like he has been making plays. I've noticed him more, you know, slashing into the backfield, making a play on a run. Like I think that is a guy who you could maybe add into the group that could be part of the next core for the Titans. It's a maybe, but he could be. And on the edge, that edge group isn't good. And the one guy you're hoping to see more out of, obviously, is Femi Oladejo, because he's the young piece that you drafted in the second round. But some of the veteran guys have actually been okay. Draymond Jones has not played well this year. He did recover the fumble that bounced off Kyler Murray's face on Sunday. So
what a freak play that was.
Shows up in the stat sheet.
It does.
Fumble recovery for Draymond Jones. But I thought Jahad Ward was, like, disruptive on Sunday. Not like Myles Garrett or an elite pass rusher, but for a guy that you signed off the street after training camp had started when Lorenzo, whatever his name is, or the guy they signed from the Falcons who had no sacks last year. Is it Lorenzo Carter? No.
No, that's not right. I know what you're talking about, though.
I'm blanking on the name. He was only here for like a couple of weeks.
Lorenzo Carter.
Okay. I did have it. But they brought in Jahad Ward to replace him after he retired. And Jahad Ward, he was making plays on Sunday. That's what you need if this defensive line is going to be a factor in games. Because Jeffrey Simmons can only do so much.
Right.
He's going to get double teamed a lot. You don't have Tavondre Sweat out there. Yes, you need Jeffrey Simmons to keep doing what he's doing, but he can't be the only guy on that line. I think you've seen more from Arden Key. You've seen more from Jahad Ward. And, you know, after a really tough start, Draymond Jones, I guess, has been a little bit better. But that group is starting to come together a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. If you listened earlier to Robbie Rexrode, you know, Mike Herndon joined Paul and Robbie, and he mentioned Jahad Ward and how he was a productive player as well. And to that point, you mentioned just in general this Titans defense against Arizona. Like, another guy they picked up off waivers, Jalen Armour Davis. Another key factor.
I mean, yeah, he's a starting cornerback for this team right now.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have to because you have nobody out there, but he's playing well. Like, you don't see a lot of production out of guys you go grab off the wire and just say, hey, you're going to be here, playing here for a certain amount of plays. No, just plug them in and see what they can do. And, again, this is I don't want to say a prove-it deal for a lot of guys, but this is their opportunity to flourish and to see if they can be a part of the roster next year.
Right.
This, to me, I look at this season as a tryout for guys that are on the bubble, really.
I mean, you look at the edge group, all of those guys are on one-year deals or Arden Key's an expiring contract.
Right.
So, like, you look at that edge group, Femi Oladejo is really the only guy who's going to be around next year. Unless I'm forgetting somebody, but I don't think I am.
No.
Right? Like,
I don't think so.
Draymond Jones was a one-year deal. Jihad Ward was obviously a one-year deal. And then this is the final year of Arden Key's three-year deal. So, yeah, you've got to start over there, and everybody kind of knows it. Like, that's why Reuben Bain's being brought up for the Titans if they end up picking high and don't trade back. Like, that's where they're going to have to go early in the draft. You have to get another edge rusher. You hope Femi can be a serviceable second edge, but you got to go get a guy who can be a game wrecker. And so it is a good tryout to see, could Jihad Ward be a good depth piece for you moving forward?
Right.
Could you want to bring Arden Key back as a situational pass rusher? I don't know. That's the stuff that you're trying to figure out this year. I also wanted to mention with the defense that, like, Kevin Winston played for the first time on Sunday.
Pretty good.
Mostly in special teams. Mm-hmm. I'll have to check how many snaps he got, but didn't do much defensively, if anything.
Right.
But that's another piece that you have out there, another chess piece for Denard Wilson, who likes to show all these multiple looks and likes to have different looks from pressure and coverage. And I'm interested to see if this defense can continue to take strides, because they shut out the Cardinals in the second half on Sunday. And again, a lot of that had to do with self-inflicted wounds from the Cardinals. Like, should they have had at least 10 points? Yes. Because if you don't fire the snap off Kyler Murray's visor, that's at least a field goal. And then, of course, the fumble going across the goal line. But overall, they did look better, especially when you needed stops late in that game to get the ball back for your offense. And they got them. And that's what you need from Denard Wilson. You saw the complementary football start to show up for the first time. And again, it's similar to what we talked about with the offense in the first hour of, like, can you build off that? Don't let this be just a fluke one time where you get it all right and it all works together. Can you build off it and put together a complete game against the Raiders on Sunday?
And I'd say yes to that. I'm not trying to look too far into the future, but when you look at a 1-4 Raiders team, and you even mentioned it with Geno Smith throwing 9 picks already this season, you got to be happy about that. If you're the Titans, you're probably salivating at the mouth when you're trying to do all your game planning for this, because that's a guy who's not in good form right now.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, he doesn't have Brock Bowers with him because of the whole bruised leg, knee injury thing. But minus all that, this is a Titans defense that can capitalize on this and maybe carry some momentum going forward. Now, again, people are probably thinking, oh my goodness, Titans have turned the corner on their season. This could be it. No.
We're not there yet.
Right.
I think this is a chance this week to show that you're moving in the right direction. Like, You've throughout the year, for people watching on the stream, you'll see my hand here, like, you've been on a slow decline, and this week in the fourth quarter, as you were continuing to decline, you pop back up, and you made a plays to show that maybe something has changed. If you just stay right there, this season's not going to get any better. You got to show that turnaround isn't just for the 12 minutes that it took to come back in that game. It can be something that you can build off of and turn from one win into maybe 2 wins this week. And I don't know if you're going to beat the Patriots or the Colts or the Chargers, because those are teams that are competing for playoff spots right now. They're in playoff spots right now. But the Raiders are a team that you should be able to go play with and win a football game. Let's see if they can do it.
Yeah, I agree. And to your point about Kevin Winston, he played 21 snaps on special teams, 70% of those as well.
Did he play any on defense?
Don't see any on defense.
We can check that out. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. I love Parker's caption on the Twitter post he put out for this segment. The Titans defense didn't play bad on Sunday in Arizona. I think that's a good way to put it.
Fantastic wording right there.
They didn't play good, but they didn't play bad. And they were able to do just enough to get the win against the Cardinals. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's talk more Titans on the other side and preview this Raiders game a little bit more, because as we mentioned, Geno Smith, 9 interceptions this year. This is a Titans team that has forced more turnovers. I think that's going to be a key on Sunday when the Titans head out to Sin City. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. You can text or call. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up. You're on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you. Few more segments left on this Tuesday. Talking Titans here as Two-Tone Blue got their first win of the season on Sunday. One of the weirder games you will ever see in your life. But the Titans took advantage of the mistakes from Arizona, got themselves back in the win column, and now a chance to win back-to-back games for the first time again since November 13th and November 17th, 2022. I moved to Nashville November 1st of 2022. So basically, since I've lived here, the Titans have not had back-to-back wins. Can they change that on Sunday? I would love to see it.
Me too. Do I think it'll happen? As much as the cards and everything's starting to bode well for the Titans. As Connor Newt always says, the Titans are going to tighten.
Well, right. It's like if you're not going to – if you can't do it now, when are you going to do it? Because I don't see a whole lot of opportunities for back-to-back wins left on the schedule. You stole one in Arizona. Can you get one against a struggling Raiders team? Now, you mentioned Brock Bowers. He's been hurt. Does he come back this week? Because that changes a lot for the Raiders, who he's their number one target when he's healthy. You got Ashton Jeanty, who seems like he's starting to round into form. He's had a couple of good weeks in a row. So I'm not completely pushing this Raiders team to the side and saying the Titans should win this game, but they can win this game. And that's not something you say about every opponent the Titans play. Wes in Clarksville says, we ain't had back-to-back wins in how long. I'd put my money against the Titans. And it's fair, but I'm looking at it as like, if you're not going to win back-to-back games now, the rest of the schedule doesn't really line up with a whole lot of opportunities for you.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this Raiders team minus Brock Bowers, so you're talking about Ashton Jeanty. Like, if the Titans are smart, which they are for the most part, you just clog the middle and see what you can do from there, because you're then forcing Geno Smith to throw the ball.
Yeah.
And for the time being, like we talked about, you said nine interceptions.
Nine times.
I mean, not 10, not 11, nine. That's crazy.
Times he's throwing an interception in 5 weeks, which is, I mean, that's a lot. And the Titans are forcing turnovers. Corey Curtis has put this out there a lot this week, and again, he'll be in with us tomorrow for the full show, that the Titans have a positive turnover differential right now. They have forced turnovers this year. Some of them may be unforced, two of them on Sunday against the Cardinals. Does that count as a turnover? I guess it does. The fumble after the interception?
It does. We were talking about yesterday on Chasing Big Joe. The whole, I don't know what you would call that little filibuster of a play.
Yeah,
in Arizona, but Tyler Lockett
debacle
recovering.
Right. So I guess it was three fumbles from Arizona. Yeah. So, you know,
change of possession.
Maybe a little bit of a skewed statistic. But compared to last year, the Titans have forced more turnovers. You got a guy who is reeling right now, can't stop giving the ball away. Can you take advantage of that? Because again, as I mentioned, like if you're going to win back-to-back games the rest of the year, you do not have a stretch the rest of the year with back-to-back teams who are not currently in playoff position. Actually, I take that back. Currently, the Chiefs and Saints aren't in playoff position, but would you qualify the Chiefs as a game you're supposed to win,
absolutely,
especially in December?
Yeah.
Probably not. So there's not a whole lot of opportunities for the Titans to get a winning streak going. I'd love for them to just go out there and win the game. Look like you did late in that game with rhythm on offense and your defense playing complimentary football. Like, put it all together for one full game. I know you're not going to go and turn this team into a playoff team, but show that you can have some progress and not just stagnate down here as one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, and it, again, goes to the mindset a little bit. You mentioned in the first hour about Brian Callahan and asked about going for two and stuff. He said he was going to stay with going for
right.
a field goal. Like, if you're going to be consistent with calling conservative plays, stay consistent with
right.
it and see if that works.
No, that's what I want from Callahan, is just, like, have a consistent, like, philosophy when it comes to some of these decisions
right.
that he makes. And if that's what you say is like, hey, if we're down by nine, we're kicking it, we're staying within one score, and we're going to prolong the game, fine. If that's your philosophy, go with it. At the end of halves, if you're across midfield and you're going to play for the field goal, do it. But then don't, like, fourth and 10 when your offense hasn't been able to move the ball all day and can't convert on third downs, what makes you think going for it on fourth down is going to be a good idea?
Yeah.
Like, you need just some consistency of, like, here is how we're going to play these situations. And there is some gut feel to it, right? Like, in certain spots, it's like maybe you have a gut feel one way or the other. But that feel has been wrong for Brian Callahan on almost every decision he's made, especially at the end of the first half.
And maybe it turns around for him because, like I said in the first hour, is that Bo Hardigree with all the play calling duties now, I think Callahan's starting to adjust to all this. And if he does adjust to it, then guess what? You're going to have some, I guess, conservative yet consistent play.
Yeah, and we'll see. I'd like to see, you know, Trey gets a lot of flack on our airwaves because, yes. you know, he calls in and usually it's anti-Cam Ward. And right. Titans fans, that's the savior right now, is Cam Ward. Like, can he turn this franchise around? And he did say when he called into Robbie and Rexroad at the end of their show about how he wants Cam Ward to play a game within the system. And I actually agree with that. Like, let's go see the Titans just play a clean game. We don't need flashy. You don't have to go put up 40 on the Raiders.
Right.
But play a game where you're consistently moving the football, you're staying ahead of the chains, you're converting on third downs, your coach is making the right decisions in the right spot. Like, let's see that and see if that leads you to a 10-point win, because I think it would if you just can do those two things. Stay ahead of the chains, don't make stupid decisions. Boom. You can go beat the Raiders on Sunday.
Absolutely. And you make a really good point about just – playing clean, and I want to add this into that aspect of it, the off-the-script plays. Like, I get everybody loves the flashy Cam Ward going out of the pocket, throwing across his body, whatever. I'll include that into this conversation of just nice play action. Give me a nice play action. That's all
and
I asked for.
We saw it twice. I'd been begging for play action shots to Chim Dike or Calvin Ridley, and we got them on Sunday. Cam Ward missed them. He's got to hit those in the future.
Mm-hmm.
He overthrew Chim Dike twice on the same drive looking for that play action shot. I'm glad they called it. Cam's got to hit it next time. Chip from Mount Juliet on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Raiders, Jets, Cardinals, and Titans, four worst teams in the league. You're forgetting the Saints in there.
Yes.
The Saints deserve... Don't you look over the Saints as one of the worst teams in the league. But funny enough about the Cardinals, like, I follow the Phoenix Suns a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Like, they're my basketball team. I'm not a huge NBA guy, but I do follow some, like, reporters from Phoenix. And the meltdown they are having this week, it makes me laugh. Because that's what we've been doing for the past, what, 3 years, basically? And, oh my goodness, the Cardinals fans, the Cardinals media cannot believe what happened on Sunday. And rightfully so. It was the stupidest game I've ever seen in my life. But watching the meltdown, I'm like, man, it's nice to not be on that side of it for once.
Yeah. I'll ask you, is Kyler Murray the problem in Arizona?
No, but I don't know if he's the solution either.
Okay.
Like, I think that's the way I would put it. It's like, I don't think he's the reason that they're not consistently in the playoff conversation, but I don't know if he's going to be part of the reason they get back into the playoff conversation.
Okay. Because you know how much I like Kyler Murray. It's just...
I don't like their coach.
Yeah.
I don't like Gannon.
You like Kyler Murray?
Yeah.
We didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Absolutely, man.
I don't like Jonathan Gannon. Like, did you see the video of him just ripping DeMarcado? Yeah. And I know he apologized for it and said that that wasn't right, and... Like, yeah, you got to hold your players accountable, but that was kind of a bad look of like, hey, don't do that out in the open in front of everybody. Like, it's a coaching moment. It happened at a horrible time, and it cost them the game. But like, man, I the way he's talked, like he came in and did his introductory press conference when he first got hired, and long rant of like, the Cardinals are going to be this, and the Cardinals are going to be that, and it's like, I'm like,
militaristic,
yeah,
almost.
Like, and just like kind of corny,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't like him. I think maybe that's one of the big reasons that they're struggling. But yeah, to see the Cardinals meltdown from the Arizona sports fans again, like I'm not like happy about it, but like it's nice to be on the other side of it where you can embrace that the other team just completely gave away a game instead of your team actually doing it. 7621 says, I'm from Arizona and been a Cardinals fan my whole life, and yes, Kyler Murray will not get us over the hump. I think that's the right way to put it, is that Kyler Murray is a serviceable starting quarterback in this league, but is he going to be able to elevate the team around him? I think we've proven probably not at this point.
Yeah, I think he'd be a good sub-500 quarterback. Don't worry, I love Kyler Murray. And I like what he has.
He's going to be in the league for a long time.
Right.
But I think Arizona, I don't know if they're quite in Tua territory yet of like time to just pull the plug and find somebody else. But I think they're maybe a year away from that.
Yeah, why not do it while you're ahead of the game? Just do it, you know?
We could see. The Jaguars, hey, Trevor Lawrence is starting to pull himself out of Tua territory. I think that's what we need to start calling it. The quarterbacks who the team is just needs to give up on, Tua territory. Trevor made a great throw to help win that game, and then the stumble touchdown at the end of the game. Let's go back to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ed from Mount Juliet is on the line wanting to talk about Cam Ward. Ed, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, I'll keep it short. You know, one of the things watching that game is you know, by the time you get to the fourth quarter and Cam is leading the Titans down to eventually the win, you know, a lot of people are sitting there thinking, where's this team been? Where's this playbook been? It wasn't there in the first three quarters. And so I say all that to go back to a comment you made from a caller who said he wanted to see Cam work in a system. Were those first three quarters not Cam working in a system? I'm not convinced there is a system. The offense has been without identity, at least for these 5 weeks. What justification or what reasoning I'd love to hear you guys have on what was going on in those first three quarters, and why all of a sudden, you know, 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter and we decide we want to win a game? Help me understand the dichotomy there. Did Cam just say, screw it, I'm going to take matters in my own hands, or what? What was that disparity there? Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Ed. I don't know. Like, they looked just as bad as they had over the past couple of weeks through the first three quarters, and then it felt like they figured something out. And when I say playing within the system, I mean, like, for the first couple of weeks, it felt like the only big plays the Titans made were when Cam Ward improvised and made plays in, like, a backyard football kind of way. I'd love to see them just move the chains consistently. Take your 10 to 15 yards when you get it. You don't. I'd love to see some explosive plays. I think you need explosive plays. I've said it before. This offense isn't good enough to consistently score on 12-play drives. But I'd like to see it not have to be hero ball for them to go win football games. Let's go out there and have long extended drives and score in the red zone. I think that's more what we were saying. But yeah, I don't know what flipped. I mean,
decision making by the quarterback himself.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of your primary solution to what changed in the second half is that quarterback just made better decisions in some aspects.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he started to take what the defense gave him. We saw the play early on in the game where he's rolling out right and Chigakonkwo is right there. It's a 5-yard pass. Chig takes it for 8 on 1st and 10. Cam was looking for something deeper and he ended up running out of bounds for a 1-yard gain. Like, those are the kinds of plays Cam Ward needs to just take. And I feel like we started to see that towards the end of the game and then picked and he chooses his spots to take the deep shot. And it worked out. Let's see if he can do it for a full game.
Yeah, and if I'm Cam Ward and everybody keeps talking about his confidence, if he kind of loses a little bit of that momentum, go back and watch your tape against Denver. Because I think he did a really good job at recognizing defenses and fronts, and he was picking and choosing his spots. Sure, that was a game Calvin Ridley had the yips and didn't catch anything.
Yeah.
But if you go back and watch that game.
No, that's true.
Cam Ward's on it.
He did the same thing against Denver, except his receivers didn't catch the ball.
Right. So I think if you go back and watch that and apply it to now, that's kind of what you're hoping for.
Right. And you can't play the entire game at 2-minute tempo, but like try and pull some of the things that made Cam Ward comfortable from that and try and put it into your everyday game plan. And I think that'd help Cam Ward a lot. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. 5644 says, wait a minute, I'm not a Nick Saban fan, but I didn't hear anyone complaining when he's ripping into his players or assistant coaches when he was coaching. You know, I felt like it was different. Like, Nick Saban, first of all, had built a reputation to be able to do that. And it was more like coming off the field, he'd be yelling at them. Like, this was Jonathan Gannon going up and getting in a player's face on the sideline in front of all the fans. Like, go watch the video. It felt different to me, and maybe it is a double standard because Jonathan Gannon isn't Nick Saban, but I just felt like it was over the top. That's something, if you're going to do that, do it in the locker room, not in front of all of his teammates and all of the fans.
And to add a little more context to that, I mean, poor DeMarcado. He was just
right. Like, that dude already knows he messed up.
Yeah, but his head was being consoled on one of the offensive linemen. Like, right. It was like the little brother holding on to the big brother, giving him like, hey, it's okay. Here's the hug.
And he kind of like hit him too. Yeah. Like Jonathan Gannon came up and like gave him a little shove. Like, I'm again, maybe it's a double standard, but I'm just saying, like, I just don't really like Jonathan Gannon all that much anyway. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Lots of good stuff on the text line today. Appreciate everybody getting involved with us. We are going to transition over to the Preds coming up next. We are just 2 days away from the opener. Predators hosting the Blue Jackets on Thursday night inside Bridgestone Arena. and they will have their rookie top five pick, Brady Martin, on the team on the first line. We'll talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Parker keeping it consistent today. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. Two more segments to go. Chase and Big Joe are coming up at the top of the hour. And again, don't forget, rest of the week here on Next Man Up, Corey Curtis from News 2 tomorrow. Teron Davenport will be with us for the full show on Thursday. And then we'll talk a lot of Preds on Friday after the opener against Columbus. Max Herz will be in from 9 to 10 from Preds Radio to talk all things Smashville. Speaking of the Preds, they announced their opening night roster yesterday. And the one question everybody had, there were multiple questions. The biggest question is, was Brady Martin, who was picked fifth overall back during the summer, was he going to be on the roster? Not only is he going to be on the roster, but as Max told us last Friday, it's looking like he is going to be the top line center for this Preds team. I mean, I don't know if anyone could have expected that he's going to be playing up there with Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly. And he has the 9 games before they have to decide whether to send him back to juniors. But we talked about it before we went on air, Nick, of like, man, if you're putting him up there on that top line, unless he really struggles, are you really going to want to send him back to juniors and replace him when you've already plugged him in with two of your better players on the top line?
This tells me two things. One, he had a really good preseason and training camp to get up to this point. Two, if he's really good at facilitating the puck, Philip Forsberg's going to have a career year. That's what it tells me.
It's a good point, yeah.
I don't know if that tells you that, but that's the notion I have.
I think it's a reason for excitement for the Preds because the center depth is just not good on this team. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of hope that young guys are going to step up. Like, I think you feel good with Big Sexy on the center on that fourth line, and Svechkov showed that he can be an impact player, especially playing next to Stamkos. And then you got Hala, who's the veteran on the third line. But you didn't have that top line center. And the thought process is you have to draft that guy. And when you draft him, usually, unless it's a Connor Bedard or Macklin Celebrini, those guys aren't plug and play. You got a guy who you're plugging and playing him, at least to start off the season. That's exciting for Preds fans, and who knows if it's going to work out. Maybe the lights are a little too bright, but I don't see Barry Trotz and Andrew Burnett doing this unless they feel like he can make an impact for this team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to play the box score stats game with you, but, I mean, you look at his stats in the OHL with the Greyhounds, 57 games, 39 assists. So, I mean, that's pretty darn good. I mean, he obviously had 33 goals and 39 assists, put all that together. But 39 assists in 57 games, it's a pretty good sample size to say, hey, I can facilitate the puck at a high level. I mean, to say that a top five draft pick is going to help day one for the Preds, that tells you a lot about the youth of this team. And Connor Newt on the weekend show made a good point about Brunette's, I guess, idea with these lines is that he's pairing a youngster with two veterans or two youngsters with a vet.
Right.
Just those combinations. Because, look, if that all works out and the chemistry starts to build between every single one of those guys, you can start switching up your lines a little bit. You have more versatility, and then you become a three-headed monster, four-headed monster in some aspects. Like, that's something you like to see going forward.
You need a lot to go right if you're the Preds. Like, there are a lot of question marks around this team heading into the year, and that's why they're not being viewed in the same way as they were last year. Like, are your big price tag veterans going to step up after not having their best year in their first year with the Preds? Stamkos, Marshall Soche, are those guys going to step up? Can Yossi stay healthy? I mean, he missed most of last year. And then it's the young guys. Like, do Svechkov and Martin, if Martin sticks around for the full year, do those guys establish themselves as rising stars for your team? Because that's what they kind of have to be. Mm-hmm. And Luke Evangelista, I think I'd put in that category too, of like, he's a guy who you expected to be an up and comer who ends up being a top six forward for you. And last year, outside of a late spurt down the stretch, he really wasn't what you hoped he would be. You got the contract stuff figured out. I don't know. He's a non-roster player right now. Like, they haven't actually figured it out, and I doubt he plays on Thursday.
Right.
But that's another guy who, if he can take a step and can be a guy who you can count on to be a winger on your second or third line along with Bunting and Marchessault and Stamkos. Like, that makes this team a whole lot better. Like, the top six wingers for this team, it's a pretty good group. If you can find the right centerman in between them with Forsberg, O'Reilly's going to play the wing, Stamkos, Evangelista, Bunting, Marchessault. Like, that is a talented group who have done it at the NFL level.
NHL level.
Sorry. I know. Football. Flipping back and forth at the NHL level. Like, can that group step up with the young guys in the middle, and then Hala obviously is on that third line?
Yeah. Like you said, this is a recipe for could be success. I think we're putting this cake in the oven right now and just
right.
saying, do we put this on 375 or do we put this on 400?
Right.
Because it could go either way. Like, if I put it on 375, it could be undercooked. Put it on 400. Uh-oh. Or I just put it on 425. 400's right in the middle. If I put it on 425, I could overcook this cake. We don't want to do that.
Yeah, this team, it may not be very good again. It's fully a possibility that they struggle again just like they did last year. But you do look at the potential of the young players and the proven ability of your veterans. And if those guys can get back, maybe not even to their ceiling, but get close to where you need them to be, this is a team with enough talent to get back to the postseason.
Yeah, and also, too, when you have the additions of Perbix and Hague, right. I think that plays a big factor into all this for guys like Stamkos and Marchessault, who both have familiar chemistries with each of those guys. So you put that into the equation. There is chemistry on this team that a lot of people, I think, may not see on the face of things. But when you get down to the nitty-gritty, you're like, yeah, this actually does have the pieces to do well.
Yeah, and Andrew Brunet, I would say, is in a similar spot to where Brian Callahan was heading into this year of like, hey, we're giving you another chance. You got to go prove it, and you kind of got to do it fast. And we'll see. They started 0-5 last year. I think a quick start's going to be important. They play Columbus on Thursday night, Utah on Saturday night, teams that they can go compete with. And you mentioned it, Nick Hague and Nick Perbix. If you want to go meet those guys, get some autographs, Brewhouse South tonight in Cool Springs. Max Herz will be down there for the first Smashville Live of the year. If you can't make it down to Brewhouse South, you can listen right here at 6 o'clock on 102.5 The Game. Pred season just 2 days away. NHL opens up tonight. Hockey season is here. For all of those Nashville sports fans who have struggled to get through the first month of Titan season, the Preds are here. Hopefully they can bring some joy to this city. Hair Metal Henry says, no wonder they were so bad last year playing at an NFL level. Yes, NHL level. It's tough. We're switching back and forth. We've been talking football all day long. 615-737-1025. Last call for phones. If you have thoughts on the Preds, the Titans, anything, we'll take it. I do want to touch on the MLB postseason because, you know, Nick Frazier, you're my baseball guy whenever you come in. Just want to give a little playoffs update. We got some big games today. Three teams on the verge of elimination, and we're getting close to setting our championship series team. So we'll talk about that to wrap up the show. We'll take your phones as well. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Final segment, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. Chasing Big Joe coming up at the top of the hour. I did want to mention we were talking Preds. I believe Barry Trotz is joining DVD at 5 o'clock today for his first appearance of the year, so make sure to tune in for that. Always great to hear from the Preds GM. I'm sure he'll have thoughts on Brady Martin making the team, the negotiation with Luke Evangelista, and how that all got sorted out, so make sure you tune in. Let me confirm that actually real quick, because those are always it's always good to hear from Barry Trotz because he is – he really is just so open with what he says. Like, he's not hiding anything. Yes. Adam Vingan tweeted out, Predators fans, our weekly interviews with GM Barry Trotz start today at 5 p.m. So make sure you tune in right here on 102.5 The Game. Preds have their season opener coming up on Thursday. And again, Smashville Live, 6 o'clock. Right here on 102.5 The Game, you can go out there live and in person at 6 o'clock at Brewhouse South. Nick Hague, Nick Perbix going to be the two guests. Before we get out of here, haven't talked about baseball in about a week. We did our preview. I picked the Mariners to go and win the World Series, and I'm really hoping I'm wrong because they're playing my Tigers right now. Tigers-Mariners, the only one of these division series that has gone 1-1. The other two, one of the teams has swept. The Brewers sweeping both at home. The Blue Jays doing the same with the Yankees. Dodgers taking both on the road against the Phillies.
It's crazy. I don't know if you're trying to do some like voodoo magic with your Tigers about how, you know, you pick
the Mariners.
What's wrong with you?
I want to make sure
you're okay.
Last Tuesday, before the Tigers had played a playoff game, I had very low expectations. Yeah. And I still kind of do. The Bats, outside of one inning in Cleveland on Thursday, have not been very good. But they're coming back home. They haven't played at home since, I think, September 21st. So we'll see what happens today. It's looking like maybe there might be a rain delay. So
it's a plus.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to watch if it's early this afternoon. So push it back to like 6 or 7. Yeah. Wouldn't hate that. But that's the only series that's 1-1. Tigers have two at home back-to-back, and then if they get to Game 5, Tarek Skubal will pitch. So I'm not feeling horrible about their prospects. I hate that Joe Rexroad's on vacation this week. He's usually at 8:55 every morning. We're just giving quick Tigers thoughts to each other. But, you know, we'll see. Hopefully when he comes back, the Tigers are playing in the ALCS. We'll see what happens.
It's possible.
But, man, the Dodgers, that team is inevitable. They are.
Yep.
It's disappointing. But, like, I thought the Phillies were going to be a really tough matchup for them. Like, I thought on paper that's a team that could play with them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the games have been close, obviously. Teoscar Hernandez hit the 3-run homer on Saturday night that helped the Dodgers get the win. And then yesterday, Dodgers went up 4-0. Phillies super close to coming back and tying that game up. Freddie Freeman with a heck of a pick at first base for the final out of the game. But, man, it's like I wanted to see the Dodgers get taken out early because I just feel like once they get to a 7-game series, it's going to be really, really hard to take them out. It might be back-to-back for the Dodgers this year.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody last night. It might have been my dad over the phone. I can't recall who it was, but I was just saying it's crazy how the Dodgers get away with bringing a guy like Miguel Rojas into the lineup when he doesn't play nearly at all for the regular season.
Yeah.
And he is a playoff gem. Like, Max Muncy does not have the greatest bat at third base. You bring in a guy like Miguel Rojas in the playoffs.
Right.
That great diving play at third last night was incredible. And then he goes and has a great game at the plate.
Kike Hernandez is the same. Like, that dude, I never hear about him until October. And then he just makes plays for this Dodgers team.
And that goes to show you how deep the Dodgers roster is when you can just play guys week in and week out throughout the season, and you have like certain guys that play well in the postseason. So
well, and it's also funny, like they make the big signing of Roky Sasaki this year, and he's horrible.
He's been bad.
Struggles, has to go back down to AAA. Oh, he's going to be our closer, and he's figured out how to throw 100 again with that nasty splitter. So don't worry. He's going to close out games for us this year. Also, we got Clayton Kershaw in the bullpen who, you know, trying to win one last World Series for him.
Let's not forget about Tyler Glasnow and
Blake
Snell.
Yeah, we got Glasnow, we got Snell, we got Yamamoto. And Shohei Ohtani also.
Forgot about that.
Almost forgot about the National League MVP.
But that rotation is deep, and the fact that they have all this deferred money, keep doing it. I mean, because you're going to win multiple championships, and your money that you're deferring is going to pay itself
right
off.
So. Baseball is a weird sport, and it's hard to make any kind of prediction because it can flip so fast.
Mm-hmm.
One team gets hot, another team cools off, and that's all it takes in the playoffs. But right now, it seems like we're trending towards a Blue Jays-Dodgers World Series, which would be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the Blue Jays have the pitching to keep up, but, man, Trey, I never know how to pronounce it. Yesavage?
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it either.
I watched the game, and they said it over and over, and I'm forgetting how they pronounced it. It's just a weird one to look at. But, man, he was absolutely nasty on – was that Saturday? Sunday?
Sunday.
So the Yankees on the verge of elimination at Yankee Stadium tonight, and we'll see if the Blue Jays can finish that one off. I think it's going to be a fun rest of the postseason. I'd love to see someone challenge the Dodgers. The Brewers look really good. But, man, that's David versus Goliath right there. The power of friendship versus a $500 million payroll.
I look at the Milwaukee Brewers as the little brother to the Dodgers. Like, the DNA is similar. They have all this young, good core guys.
Right.
But
it's like they've got the homegrown talent, and it's like maybe some of those guys aren't in their primes quite yet. Like Jackson Churio, really good player.
Dealing with a hamstring, isn't he?
Might be. He hit a 3-run homer last night.
Yeah.
But so did Andrew Vaughn, who They traded
the deadline for
they. Who did they trade? He requested a trade
from Chicago.
Aaron Civale. They traded to the White Sox and got back Andrew Vaughn, who had a 3-run homer last night. So the playoffs are always fun. I'm rooting for my Tigers. I have low expectations. The Mariners offense is really good. I saw it the other night. It's like Tigers finally break through and tie the game in the eighth inning, and then Cal Raleigh and Julio Rodriguez come through with big swings. So I have low expectations, but we'll see. Tigers have back-to-back games at home, and then Scooble in game five if they need him.
If they can get a win tonight, this afternoon, I guess, for the Tigers, that definitely swings the momentum back in their favor. It's only one game, but
it's a massive game because at that point, you guarantee yourself game five with Scooble on the mound, and you're playing at home in game four where you can close it out. Like that, today is a huge game. I would say if the Tigers win today, I think they'll win the series. I don't know how much further they would go beyond that, but if they lose today, I can't see. I honestly don't think they make it back to Seattle if they lose today. So we'll see. It's always fun when we got playoff baseball. And again, we got hockey season coming up. Plenty of football. Again, tomorrow on the show, Corey Curtis from News 2 is going to join us. We'll have plenty to get into after the Titans' crazy win on Sunday. We'll talk more about that. Get ready for the Raiders game. Also, we'll talk some college football. Again, Teron Davenport is on Thursday. Max Herz will be with us Friday from 9 to 10 after the Preds start up their season. Nick? Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, sir.
Enjoy the show. Chasing Big Joe with Dr. Crane. Nick Frazier is coming up next. For Nick Frazier and Parker Kelly, I'm Jake Lyman signing off. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Chasing Big Joe coming up next right here on 102.5 The Game.